Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The power of Christ is in you and in me. Now, you may not see it, you may not feel it, but it is in you through the power of God's Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that was Lisa Holly. She is the director who did the children's message of Red Apple. So you got to see the director. And we want to honor our neighbor who works so diligently with us in sharing the gospel. The second thing is Kim Austin is with us with her husband. She is the DCE that we called last week at our voters meeting. And she has been working, you know, meeting the youth and a lot of other people. She will be here tomorrow to meet with the staff, do a little house hunting. There you are. I didn't know where you were. So why don't you stand here? Ryan, you want to stand too? So we will honor both of you here this morning. Thank you. Find people. We pray that God will move you to accept the call here to Peace Lutheran Church. Today we want to talk about Paul, a hero of faith. We're also going to talk about Ananias, a hero of faith. And we're going to talk about ourselves just as well. So let me give you a little background information on Paul this morning. Paul was a native of Tarsus, which is south central Turkey today. Paul's father was a Roman citizen, which makes Paul a Roman citizen, which is a big deal. He has certain rights, as we have, being a citizen of the United States. And Paul is a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and he believes in the resurrection. So Paul will be different than many other people who are not Pharisees, but he does believe in the resurrection of the dead. He had the best training in his day under Gamaliel, the most honored rabbi of the first century. And Paul was a tent maker by trade. The Talmud consists of the code of the law from Moses and the commentary of the laws that explain how to obey the laws. The Talmud reads, "What is commanded of the father towards the son? To circumcise him, to teach him the law, to teach him a trade." So we can see that obviously that was part of Paul's legacy, was to be a tent maker and a preacher at the same time. So more overview is Paul had been a persecutor of Christians and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Paul was the greatest missionary of the church, or at least the first century. And Paul was a prolific writer in writing 13 books of the New Testament. And finally, overview, Paul was a heart-stirring preacher and church planter. Paul was changed from Saul, a persecutor of the church, to Paul, a champion of the church. Paul saw his life with meaning in Christ. May we see our lives value in Christ like Paul. So when we look at this overview of Paul, he went from persecutor to proclaimer of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, this was a radical shift for him. And hopefully it's a radical shift for you and me this day as well, as we go out and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So this morning we're going to talk about how well do you proclaim Jesus Christ in our community? How well do you share Jesus Christ within your family structure? And how do you live out your Christianity in the face of adversity? So let's look first of all at Paul is zealous for God. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Paul is a man of faith. I mean, he is so zealous for God that this teaching of Jesus Christ is contrary to what he believes. So he is willing to leave Jerusalem, to go to Damascus, to arrest these sinful people in his idea of what it means to follow the true God. And I looked up a definition of zealous from the dictionary, and this is from .com dictionary. It's someone who's having a passionate energy or belief or purpose. So if you have a passionate energy or belief for a purpose. So I'm guessing that some of you are UT fans, some of you are Aggie fans, some of you are Red Raiders fans, some of you are fans from different states. You have maybe some kind of university that you would say, this is my football team. So if you're sitting on the sidelines at the game, are you passionate? Are you zealous for your team? Would you be yelling and screaming? And when they score a touchdown, you are a happy person. You know, that's being zealous. Now, in church, are we as zealous as people at a football game? No. Okay. So why not? I ask myself strange questions at times. Isn't Jesus the best person in the entire universe? Shouldn't we be yelling and screaming his name? Shouldn't we be praising God for eternity with him? Shouldn't we be saying, Lord, thank you for loving me so that I can love my neighbor? Great illustration of magnets as we share God's love and get out into our community. So do you believe that Peace Lutheran Church is zealous for God? Bobblehead time. Okay. Okay. Do you believe that you are zealous for God? Okay. So if you are zealous for God, what does it look like? Who are you telling? No one or everyone? How many of you like your coffee hot? Okay. Do you like it lukewarm? No. How about when you have hot tea? Do you like lukewarm hot tea? Or how about if you drink iced tea? Do you like lukewarm tea? No. Well, Jesus talked about that to the church in Laodicea. He talked about them being lukewarm, and he would spit them out of his mouth because I like my coffee hot. I like my iced tea cold. You begin to understand, if you're lukewarm as a believer in Jesus Christ, what good are you? We have to be passionate and zealous for what we believe in, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So Paul had a Damascus Road conversion. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So Paul's life was radically changed on the way to Damascus as he encountered Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Jesus got his attention because he blinded him. Now, Paul is probably for 3 days wondering what's going to happen. My life has turned upside down, inside out. What am I supposed to do? But he gets a vision that God is going to send a man by the name of Ananias so that he might see. Now, I have never had a Damascus Road experience. Maybe you have. A Damascus Road experience might be that you've been healed of cancer. I've been healed of cancer, but I didn't call that a Damascus Road experience because I believe that if God was going to heal me, he was going to heal me. If not, I was going to heaven. Either way, it was all good. Maybe you've witnessed someone's life has changed dramatically by their faith life. Perhaps you may not have had a Damascus Road experience. Now, I look at some what I call turning points in my faith life. At the age of 12, I was confirmed, and I told Jesus and I committed that I will never forsake you for the rest of my life. You will always be my Lord and my Savior. Now, at 12, when you say, I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. I'm going to be your disciple. What does a 12-year-old know? I knew what 12 was, and I knew where I was at that point in time, but when you're 72, there's a big difference between 12 and 72, 60 years of experience. I'm still here today because God has invested in me. The second part of my journey, if you will, was when I had an encounter with Life with God class. Life with God class is basically catechism on steroids with my pastor, who was my really good friend. And he was such a good friend that he had this class on Sunday afternoon, which meant I had to give up football. Boy, I tell you, that was a toughie in those days. But I'm glad I did, because this turned me on to knowing Jesus and made me a much more intentional believer and disciple. And the third point in my faith life is when my wife and I sat down on the picnic table in the backyard and talked about going to seminary. Now, my grandmother prayed that I would be a pastor, and she died in 1967. In 1982, I went to the seminary. Okay, so prayers work. These are the turning points in my life of where I am today. You probably had some kind of faith turning points, just as well as you see Jesus visible in the decisions that you are making that honor him. So when I begin to see all of these things, I talk about, I am a believer in Jesus, and I am zealous for him. Now, just because I'm a pastor doesn't make me more spiritual than you out there. Please understand that. I'm a human being. Remember, we started out with Elijah. He was a man just like us. He had his ups and his downs. He had his mountaintop experiences, his Death Valley times. I'm like that. I mean, I've had my whoopee-doo. Life is really great. And boy, life is really bad right now. Okay, I've had both of those. Most of us have. But God is with us in the ups and the downs if we just begin to focus on him. Well, there's a disciple called to minister to Paul. His name is Ananias. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he said. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands to restore to him his sight. Now, there would be no St. Paul if there wasn't an Ananias. And Ananias is a hero of faith. We may call him an unsung hero, but he is a hero. So when Ananias hears, Lord, you want me to do what? I mean, this guy's the enemy, and you want me to go to him and heal him? Lord, I don't understand. He does not fit into my way of thinking. Why would I go to your enemy and love him? Well, why would Jesus come to us who are his enemies and love us? Because that's who God is. God loves the world. He loves each and every one of us. And he calls us out to go and love the unlovable, the people that we don't like. Now, is it easy to go and love somebody you don't like? I haven't ever found it easy. I haven't volunteered, hey, Lord, pick me to go out and pick a person that I don't like, because I don't like to do that. You want me to go, oh, Lord, go let me do something else, but not that. But when the Lord tells us in our spirit, through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, that's the person that you need to talk to. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but boy, I get in Walmart every time, and not every time, but sometimes, and the Lord tells me to go walk up to that person. I go, oh, really? No, I don't want to do that. But I go up and I say, hi, my name is Russ Hildebrandt, And I'm just telling you that this is weird, but God told me to talk to you today. And the person looks at me, okay. I said, I just want to pray for you today because God told me that something's going on in your life, and I want to pray for you today. And usually I'll get a prayer. This is just me. This is not you. I listen to God, and I go, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You want me to do what? Okay, God, I'll do it. But not comfortable today. But an Ananias, you may be one. As a teacher, as a nurse, as a doctor, as a husband, a wife, as a child, there's a lot of Ananias ministry going on. And Ananias is a hero of faith. Paul is called to minister to the world. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to be the people of, and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Now, I tell you what, if Paul is a hard-headed Jew, I will tell you that right now, is that he does not give up, and you know how zealous he is for God. You saw that at the beginning. Well, let me tell you how zealous he is for Jesus Christ. Let's talk about his ministry. Paul suffers for the gospel. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, dangers from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger at false believers. I have been labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concerns for all of my churches. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got beat 1 time, I probably would have learned my lesson. 5 times? Man, that's zealous. And then to be beaten with rod 3 times, to be stoned. Come on, God. When you said I must suffer for the gospel, you weren't kidding. Well, how about us? Are we willing to suffer for the gospel? I mean, when you look at the life of Paul, this is taking up your cross and following Jesus. What does your life look like? Would you be willing to stand up in school and say, I'm a Jesus follower, and people would make fun of you? Would you be willing to do something like that? How about at work? I mean, oh no, you can't bring Jesus into work. Who said? Whatever happened to the First Amendment? Oh, I see, you get fired. I get it. Okay, so we don't believe in the First Amendment anymore. How about out in the community? Can we not say the name of Jesus as Lord and mean it and confess it and go and share the joy of knowing him? Now, when I ask you if you were zealous for the Lord, it means that you're going to do something for the Lord. Coming to worship is good. Coming to Sunday school is good, but that's 2 hours out of 168. What are we doing with the other 166 hours a week? How are we living for Jesus? How are we loving others? You see, you may be an Ananias, a hero of faith, where you're a teacher, a doctor, a nurse, somebody who works in the community, but also a mother, a father, a child who loves another child at school or loves a neighbor. You see, we all can be an Ananias. Not everybody is a St. Paul, but we are heroes of faith in our own way. Now, how many of you would say that mothers are important? Okay, As a male, you better say it because you wouldn't be here, right? I mean, thank God for women who are willing to bring children into the world. My mother was my hero, because if I didn't have a mother, I wouldn't be here. So we thank God for the moms. We thank God for the dads. We thank God for the siblings, because we're all here for a reason and a purpose, is to share the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But sometimes you may doubt your faith. Remember Thomas? Unless I see Jesus and put my hand in his hands, feet, and side, I'm not going to believe. So did Jesus love Thomas? Jesus was willing to show himself. And when we doubt, Jesus shows himself to us in his word and with people ministering to us as they come to do Ananias ministry with each and every one of us. Because there's plenty of Ananiases out in our community. You see, Jesus never rejects a doubter. He comes to us in our doubts, and he says, I am with you. So, do you believe that your problems are bigger than God's promises? Do you believe that? Are your problems bigger than God's promises? Doesn't God promise to meet you where you are and to help you to live out each and every day with the love of Jesus Christ, to love your neighbors? What we learn about Paul as a zealous pastor, preacher, church planter, evangelist, is that he sometimes had a problem with humbleness. So God gives him a thorn in his flesh. So God keeps Paul humble. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And a hero of faith is full of the Lord and not him or herself. Well, I have to tell you today that this is a good church. This is a promising church. This church is going to do many things for the sake of the gospel. And we're going to strongly encourage you to be ministers of the gospel. We're going to equip you with the message of the gospel. And we want to encourage you is to go out and to share the gospel message. Because what's more important, a football game or people who are dying and going to hell? I mean, let me just, okay, if I was 30 years younger, I would have probably said football game. Okay? But today I say people are going to hell. What is more important, that it's all about me or it's all about Jesus? See, how do I live out my life for him and him alone? I can't tell you how it's lived out. I can just challenge you that when you're living each and every day is to see an opportunity to serve someone else so you can be that hero of faith. You see, a hero is somebody who loves somebody else. Plain and simple. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can be a hero to somebody if you just walk up to them and smile. Do you recognize that? A smile goes a long way in building people up. If you just recognize a person for who they are, love on people, be a hero in our community, because being a hero is not that hard. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, seeing the opportunities to share Jesus. All God's people say, amen.